Well, I feel for Martha. Don't you? I mean, imagine a knock on your door, opening it, and finding Jesus. He didn't call ahead. You had no warning. You might say something like, "Oh my God," to which he'd answer, "Precisely." Would you invite him in? Or would you say, "Just a minute, Jesus," and dash into the living room, sweep all the debris off the coffee table, toss it behind the sofa, snatch the family Bible, blow the dust off it, and place it in the center of the coffee table, yell to your family, "Jesus is here! Someone put fresh towels in the bathroom!" And then smoothing your hair, taking a deep breath and opening the door again, would you say, "Welcome, Lord. Please come in." I feel for Martha because entertaining an unexpected guest can be stressful. And she doesn't have a stocked freezer or extra canned goods in the pantry or the option of rescue from Uber Eats. Jesus arrives and all the norms of Middle Eastern hospitality demand that food and drink be offered. Without a wife or servants to delegate the responsibility to, Martha is left to do it on her own. All she wants is a little help from her sister Mary, maybe to slice up an onion or stir a pot, nothing more. So, when Jesus responds to her request with, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted with many things," he really annoys me. And maybe he annoys all of you Martha types who are here this morning. After all, someone has to be worried by many things or they simply won't get done. Amen? Amen. But honestly, what Jesus is trying to do is to liberate Martha from the burden of obsessive duty and the two-edged tyranny that goes with that. And you know what I mean. First comes the excessive devaluation of one's own worth that views sitting in the living room with Jesus as all right for some, but too wonderful for the likes of me. And then the excessive valuation of one's own importance, for the world seems to rest on Martha's shoulders, not God's. After all, she's the one who gets things done. Jesus knows that obsessive duty eventually leads to frustration, resentment, and yes, anger. So Jesus offers Martha, indeed offers all of us who are troubled by many things, another way. And that one thing, the better part of which Mary has chosen, is the conversation in the living room. So what did they talk about? Have you ever wondered about that? You know, did Mary ask how Jesus' ministry was going and what the disciples were up to lately? Did she want to know if James and John, the brothers Zebedee, were behaving themselves and getting along with the brothers Peter and Andrew? Did she ask about the Pharisees and if things were going any better with them? Did Jesus inquire about her brother Lazarus, perhaps voicing concern over his health? Did they converse about the latest news from Jerusalem or focus in on a particularly obscure verse from the Torah? If Jesus was sitting in your living room, what would you talk about? If Jesus was sitting on your couch with you, what would you ask him? I'd like to ask you to take just a minute or two to share that with someone. So if you're sitting by yourself, slide over or turn around or lean forward. And I'm going to ask you to talk, being mindful that some people don't hear so well if we all get really loud. So keep your voices conversational. But share with each other just a word or two If you found yourself sitting on your living room sofa with Jesus, what would you ask him? What would you talk about? Go ahead, share something. Let me call you back. If you didn't have a chance to finish, that's good conversation as you're settling in with some food at the congregational meeting after service or as you ride home in the car later on. What would you talk about? I had an interesting time asking people this question as I prepared for the sermon. Usually people smiled as they imagined Jesus sitting in their living room and talking with them. One guy said, "Do you think he'd be wearing his sandals?" Some people joked, but most got serious. One young woman who is accomplished and kind, lovely inside and out, said, "I'd ask him why I can't find someone to spend my life with." A man who was facing some serious health issues said, "I'd ask, why me?" But then he went on to say that he really would ask about the virulent racism sweeping our country and why we continue to be bound by white privilege when Jesus has freed us to love one another. A very young child would ask why God had to make thunder so loud. And a teenager, why God didn't stop his friend from making a really bad choice that led to his death. Perhaps some of you had similar thoughts. And how about the other side of the conversation? What would you want Jesus to ask you about? I won't ask you to share this one, but think about it for a moment. What would you hope Jesus would ask you? Is it a joy, a loss, a hurt, a hope, a healing process? What would you hope that Jesus loves you enough, knows you well enough to ask about? So listen, friends, this holy conversation, this visit in our living rooms with Jesus is the stuff of prayer. It's the better part, or to use the Message translation of the text, it's the main course that Martha was missing out on. The give, the take, the speaking, the listening. That's what we do when we pray. And sure, often we are distracted by many things, and sometimes we worry about measuring up or getting everything done. We even worry if we're praying the right way, if the conversation that we're having with Jesus is appropriate, or if we're using holy enough language, or if we even dare to bring a particular subject up with God. But friends, here's the thing. He's knocking on our door. He's sitting in our living room. He's taken the initiative. He wants to hear from us. He'll be patient if we're distracted. He'll wait until our hearts settle down and our souls rise up. And don't worry, he's settled in, and we can take all the time we need to find the words and give them voice. If you were to open Luke's gospel and keep reading after this morning's passage, you will see that Luke follows the story of this visit with the story of Jesus going to a certain village and then to a certain place to pray. And then after that, he teaches his disciples how to pray, and he gives them the Lord's Prayer. Maybe that's what he and Mary talked about. And you know what? When we aren't quite sure what to say, it's a great place to begin. In fact, from the holy name of God to the kingdom coming, to the gift of daily bread and of forgiveness, to deliverance from evil and God's will being done, the Lord's Prayer probably covers just about everything in our living room conversations. Jesus is knocking on your door. Jesus is knocking on your door because he loves you. Don't worry if the rug needs to be vacuumed and that you haven't dusted in weeks, or that you don't even really know what to say. Just invite him in. He wants to visit. He wants to hear how you are doing. And Jesus wants to give you his peace, which passes all understanding. I can't think of a better use for our time than that. Can you? Amen.